The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. We will be chopping it up with Kenny Dillingham today. I think it's time. I've not had Kenny on since he was hired head football coach over at Arizona State. It's been, what would it be? He was hired on November 27th, 2022. Whenever I see him at things, I will say to him, there's not really much to talk about because it's all going to be, well, this is going to be the way that things are going to be on the field and games and all that stuff. And I want to know about process. That's what I'm about. It's the youngest coach in college football at this level. And so I've wanted to give him some time, some space. We were in a charity golf event together back in, I think it was January or February. It still wasn't quite right. And now it's time. So I want to know about what some of his definitions are, some of his rules are, how he goes about the daily grind of being a head coach at Arizona State University, which the last time I checked, they've gone through a lot of head coaches. It's not a lie, and I don't care what other universities do. This is the one that's here in Tempe. So I want to talk with him about all those things, and we will chop it up with Kenny Dillingham. We're brought to you by, as always, Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. As always, we appreciate their ongoing support. I think we should start with Tori Lavello today. You know, I'm not going to start with Frank Vogel because I'll get over to that in a bit. I don't hear a whole lot of buzz around town about Frank Vogel, but it's fine. They did the right thing by extending Tori Lavello. Any one of you who believes that this was the wrong move, it's fine. You're entitled to your opinion, even if it's the wrong one. Tori's put this team in a position and is grinded out. And rather than just, well, we got to change the manager. The manager is the problem. The manager is at fault. The manager, and there are times where the manager is at fault. As much as I like Bob Melvin, the Padres are circling the drain and people are getting restless with Bo Mel over in San Diego. And I think he's terrific and tremendous, but clearly something's not going right over there. Clearly, Tori Lavello in the last year, yeah, I'd say probably the last 16, 18 months, and the front office have done a tremendous job of building up the product, going through some very lean years. Going through the situation at the ballpark where I don't know where the ballpark's going to land for them. It is old. It is dilapidated. It does need work. I don't like when I get an email from the Diamondbacks and it's big blaring. We are bringing said concert to the ballpark, to Chase Field on October 5th. And I got that last week. And I'm not going to promote who it is, but it's just like, are you guys just screaming at the fans? Like, we're not going to be playing baseball on October 5th, so we're going to have a concert going on? Like, come on. Somebody, anybody. You don't schedule concerts the week after the Major League Baseball season ends. What you're saying is, well, nobody's going to be in the park to begin with. So that's just stupid. Sorry. Whoever it was that made the decision, not smart. But extending Tori's smart. See them get incrementally better and better and better. Remember, I was in a press box in spring training, and I was talking with Steve Gilbert. I like Steve and Nick Pecoro. I like Nick. Both those guys do their gigs day in, day out. They've been around it for a long, long time. And I used to be in that space day in and day out. It's a grind. Of all the beats, if you want to be in media, if you want to be in baseball, you better have a very understanding partner. And you better not like nights, weekends, and holidays because that's when you're working a lot of these bad boys. But I remember talking with them and said, what do you guys think about this season? And he says, what do you think? And I said, I think they're probably around 88 to 91, 92. And they said, there's no way. I'm not bringing that up now saying, see, I told you so, because there's still a lot of season to go. But I just felt like in the people whose opinions that I respect in the game that I'd been talking to laid out a pretty compelling case that people were about to turn the corner. You could see in spring training that Corbin Carroll had turned the corner. That's why they gave him $111 million. I was very concerned about Madison Bumgarner being here. Mad Bum was all about Mad Bum in terms of his preparation and his performance. And they had to do something, and they did the right thing by getting rid of him. They have not done the right thing by, they have still haven't found a replacement for him. As bad as yesterday's loss was, and that was probably the worst loss of the season yesterday. You know, Castro looks good. And he just grooves one to Rosario, and there it goes, grand slam, and they lose with two outs in the ninth. Ugh. I want them to do well. Because when you have a town that has a pennant race, you have a town that has a playoff contender. I hope that there's guys in my business that are putting up photos saying, see, there's nobody at the ballpark. Well, let me fill you in on something. It takes a long time to recapture a fan base that you've alienated. A long time. And so just because they're at a certain spot on June 5th, doesn't mean they've earned the trust of the fans to come back. Fans are not going to put down their hard-earned money to watch a boring product. They're not going to watch a bunch of veterans that are just trying to put up some numbers they get traded at the deadline. They're not going to watch a team that looks like it can't play the game because fundamentally they're so wrong and so off. But they will watch a team that is exciting, steals bases, does well defensively. I love watching their catchers. I know Carson Kelly's close to coming back up and they're concerned about the number of innings. I'm pretty happy with how that's gone at that position. You know, the bullpen, it's this. It feels like, I don't know if it's the Hazen tenure, they just can't seem to find three reliable guys. Well, that's Major League Baseball. I don't know. A lot of other teams seem to find their way through to get through a game. And if you have to go through tough moments like you did last night with Castro in June in order to be playing meaningful games and he's pitching in September and he had to go through it, okay, we'll see. But they're at Washington, they're at Detroit. They're tied for the best record in the National League. They're in first place with the Dodgers on June 5th. A lot of season to go. I know. But this doesn't feel like the usual when they play the Dodgers. They don't play the Dodgers again until August. Usually they play them like the first week of July and they lose 3 or 4 and get jack stomped like 13-1, 12-2, and their season's over. And we turn our attention over to the football year. I like where they are and they're fun to watch. That's it. So the Suns hired Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel, and that has been met with kind of, okay, they got a coach. And then Monty Williams goes and gets the highest contract in the history of the NBA, which if I'm Eric Spoelstra or if I'm Steve Kerr or if I'm about a half dozen other guys, Michael Malone, I am jumping up and down for joy. If I'm an owner, I'm pissed. I'm just like, what? He got fired and they're paying him the most money out there. So it doesn't matter to me that they're able to keep Kevin Young. It doesn't matter. They were able to keep the assistant that was with Monty and they're making him the highest paid and that shows a commitment. I don't know. Kevin Durant's track record speaks pretty loudly. If he doesn't feel like he's going to be able to win, he's going to say, get me out of here. That's the deal. There's no other way to put this. He may love the hire, but next January, February, March, whatever it is. And when I read nonsense of this was their first choice, well, their first choice, why didn't they just hire him? He wasn't the first choice. He was one of the choices. Let's see. I want the braised short ribs. I want the lamb. I want a slice of ham. I want some spaghetti or I want some halibut. And I look at the halibut. It's okay. Sure, you can spin this any way you want, but he was not the first choice. Not. Doc Rivers pulls out an hour before he gets announced. The agent for Nick Nurse, yep, it came down to Phoenix and Philly. So don't give me that. People that buy that stuff, I know you want access. I know you want access. But let's call it as it is. This was not just that simple of a hire. It may be the right hire. It may be. When they hold the introductory press conference, and this is my dream job. This is where I've always wanted to be. This is one of the greatest organizations in the NBA. We have a terrific, I will read into a press conference when Frank Vogel gets hired, if there's anything at all about what are you doing, DeAndre Ayton? And it doesn't really matter what they say up front anymore. These press conferences are nothing more than to get all of you excited. That's it. You can't ask deep, meaningful questions and look somebody in the eye like I'm about to do with Kenny Dillingham. Can't do that anymore. Teams will cut it off, move on. It must feel great to be here in Phoenix. It must. How does it make you feel? Because the TV guy's looking for the soundbite to say it feels great. That's all they're trying to do. Get their 15 seconds, get done. I'm not into that. So introductory press conferences don't mean bleep to me. It gets interesting how Kyrie, according to Shams, is wanting to get LeBron to go to Dallas. Like, let's just talk about this with Frank Vogel. It's not like he's walking in here and the NBA Western Conference is wide open. Yeah, he's a defensive-minded guy. Doesn't mean he's going to be able to look at Denver and say, I got it all figured out. Doesn't mean everybody's going to have a buy-in. There's a lot of good teams. There's some young and up-and-coming teams. Oklahoma City's coming. So, you know, if Kyrie gets LeBron to go to Dallas, is it just a bunch of guys in rocking chairs getting big paychecks until Bronny gets out of USC and then LeBron goes wherever Bronny's going? That's what's going to happen. That is what's going to happen on that one, just so we're clear. There were two great stories over the weekend in sports, and then we'll break for Kenny Dillingham. Two great ones. One was Victor Hovland winning the Memorial yesterday in a playoff, and the way that he came back, and I was on the elliptical, gripped by it. The better story about Victor Hovland is this morning he is at a qualifying event as the caddy for his buddy from Oklahoma State, and he's carrying his bag for 36 holes. That's what I want. I want that all day long. The other story. So Rose Zhang was just here in Phoenix like, I don't know, 13, 14 days ago. She was golfing for Stanford. She won the college title on the women's side. Again, she's terrific. Yesterday, she holds up the trophy, winning her first event on the LPGA, 13 days apart. Guess what? Last time that happened, 1951. Most, if not all of us, weren't even around. That's cool. I like that. Those are my kind of stories. Kenny Dillingham, much more than, so, can you talk about how great Elijah Badger is going to be this season? We already got that. We're going to go deep. This is like business from his view. Masterclass in business, a lot of things offbeat, off the beaten path with Kenny Dillingham, Arizona State new head coach. We will chop it up next. I have left Kenny Dillingham alone for the most part, other than I had to drag him along into a golf cart for 6 hours. I felt horrible about it, but it was a great event for Desert Financial, and he was amenable, and we had fun, I think. And tell. And you know, I told Kenny this shortly after he was hired. He's hired November 27th, 2022, which by my math would be 277 days until his kickoff, his first kickoff. That's a long time to be asking Kenny Dillingham, hey, what about your quarterback? What about your wide receiver? What about the portal? What about all this stuff? We're 90 days out. 90 days from today, Arizona State kicks off against Southern Utah in what I believe is one of the more anticipated Sun Devil football seasons. But I still don't want to sit here and talk about quarterbacks and running backs. So I'm going to see Kenny in July in Las Vegas at Pac-12 Media Day, which will be a circus. Are you looking forward to that, by the way?
I mean, I like Vegas. So, Yeah, you know, but, you know, I think anytime that you get an opportunity to get in front of people and show the vision for the program is an opportunity.
Yeah, no, I think you in Vegas this year, you're going to be there where USC and UCLA are leaving. So there's going to be hundreds of us there. They're going to want to talk about that. You're one of the new head coaches. Deion Sanders is a new head coach. There's going to be a lot swirling around him. I think the commissioner probably has to address his media deal. I think you'd all like to know what it's going to look like. So I think you're going to be walking into something where I may be wrong on this, Kenny, but I think you're going to be the focal point of Arizona media and some national, but there's all this other stuff swirling around. So have you even thought about how you're going to handle Vegas and hundreds of media descending on you? You haven't had that yet, I don't believe. You've had dozens.
Yeah, I mean, honesty. I never worry about things like that, because if you tell the truth and you just be a good person, it really doesn't matter. So just tell people the truth and you know, be a good person. And none of that matters.
So on June 2nd, what is the truth about your football team from your view? Well, I will ask you a little bit, not about positions, but what's the truth about your team right now? What do you know?
I know our team wants to be good. Like, they have something about them that they want to right the wrong of last year, the returners do. They have that, we got to get this fixed. We know what we did last year in the offseason wasn't good enough. Like, holy cow, look how hard we practiced in the spring. I can't believe we didn't do this prior. I can't believe we didn't get out with the coaches in the summer and utilize the new rules and throw and catch with each other last year. It's like they are bought into this process because they want it so badly. And I think that's what I know about this team is you combine these guys with the chips on their shoulder because they were here last year with these guys who have a chip on their shoulder personally because their last institution maybe didn't work out or maybe they weren't highly recruited. And now they get their opportunity to prove themselves in big time football. So you've got a whole bunch of people with a chip on their shoulder. If there's one thing I know about our team, it's that is we've got a bunch of people with a chip on their shoulder and they're good people. Like, they're good humans. They could babysit my son. Like, that's what I'm – that if I had to describe us, it's not about the football. It's those two things. They've got a chip, and they're good people.
Kenny Dillingham with us for a couple of minutes. I want to get your definition and maybe some examples of what is culture. What's culture?
Culture is when the practice ends and you go in the locker room and you or me as the head coach go down in the locker room an hour after practice ends. Are kids in there arguing with each other over who the best NBA player is? Are kids in there playing Madden? Are kids playing ping pong? Are they doing this weird game where they point different directions and try not to look the same way? Whatever these games are, or have they all left? That's it. Do they want to be around each other? Do they enjoy each other so much that they go through all this blood, sweat, and tears, and they're exhausted and tired, and they still choose to be together? And then you combine that with when bad things happen, do they support each other? When something bad happens to a player, somebody misses a play, does somebody pick that guy up and help get him to where he needs to be? If somebody beats out another player on the field and one person takes one reps, does the two come up and be like, you deserve it? I'm going to push you, though. I'm going to take this job. I'm coming. That's culture. All those things together. They just show just community and support for one another. And that's what I think is culture.
In your stops in coaching along the way now to become the head coach at Arizona State, whether it be Oregon or Florida State, Memphis, wherever, the culture guy that you point towards and say, that's the guy. If I had a guy, and it may be an example of a player, your previous stops of what a culture guy looks like to you.
There was a guy by the name of Riley Ferguson, quarterback we had at Memphis. And Riley was obviously a quarterback, but he was an incredible culture guy because he was so competitive, but he was a man of the people. And what I mean by that was he wasn't the goody two shoes off the field. He wasn't the extension of the coaching staff that when the extension of the coaching staff says we need to do something, people are like, oh, well, you're just another coach, right? He was such a man of the people that when he spoke or when he acted or when he was a part of this culture, people were like, well, if he wants to do this something extra, that's the same dude that we hang out with on Saturday night. That's the same dude who, like, we have to tell to make good decisions sometimes. Like, he's the man of the people, and people follow two types of people. People follow extreme success, Tom Brady. I'm so successful, I have to follow you because I want it. Or they follow their peers that are good. And he was one of those people. And he was one of those people that helped build the culture there.
What does failure look like?
Failure is not being the very best you can be at anything you do. It's just you should fail 99 times before you ever succeed. Well, now how you look at failure is the question. Do you look at the word as failure in terms of what everybody perceives it as, in terms of failure, go cry in a room and check Twitter and everybody hates you? Is that failure? No. Failure is setting a standard so high that it's nearly impossible to achieve. And every day you wake up and try to achieve this standard that's really not possible, that people laugh at you over. There's no, you're going to be blank. Okay, go ahead. And you continue to fail and 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 embrace it to a point where people are like, holy cow. Oh, and then they say after you failed 99 times and you have that success, it's not really success. It was luck. Mm-hmm. That's failure.
Got an example?
I mean, I've been, you know, I mean, I'll use myself as an example. People thought my dreams and aspirations in this profession were impossible and laughable when I'm a 17-year-old dude who's never played college football, has no connections in the profession. They thought they were laughable when I said I want to be the youngest head coach. Everybody laughed at me. Nobody, I mean, nobody took me seriously when I got into this. Not even close. But you know what? It doesn't matter what people think about you. It's a matter of what you're willing to do. And it's a matter of how many times you're going to go try to be successful and how many times you're going to fail and fail and fail and fail and fail again. And guess what? Now, what do people say? He's lucky. That's how it works. And that's really the goal of everybody is, can you make people make excuses for why they're not you? That's when you know you've really been successful, is when people make excuses for how you got there and why they can't. And that's really what we're trying to get our guys to do, is like, learn how to fail and compete and have a passion for what you do. And if that passion's so deep in you, and if you don't get rattled by what people rule as negative failures, you use them as motivation, then one day you're going to wake up and everybody's going to say, man, this dude's so lucky. If I could only be as lucky as him.
You only have $1 million, $10 million, whatever. Yeah, I've heard that too. Discipline. What does discipline look like for Kenny Dillingham to his team or just in people?
I think in people is discipline is not what I do if you don't do something. So what I mean is, okay, you don't show up, I'm going to discipline you. I don't think that's discipline. I think what discipline is setting a standard and knowing what the repercussions are. Is in order to build a culture, you have to set extremely high standards like we just talked about. And then you have to set minimum standards. And you have to set a culture that if you don't hit this standard, this is the punishment. It's pretty simple. I'm not choosing to punish you. I'm not choosing to have you wake up at 6 a.m. on Saturday to come get your makeout work because you were a minute late to workouts, so we kicked you out of the workout. If you're a minute late to one of our workouts, you don't get to work out. You get to go home. You get to work out at 6 a.m. on Saturday. You were late. You don't get to work out anymore. It's very simple. I don't care if you're a minute late, 10 seconds late, or 2 hours late. It doesn't matter. So I think discipline to me is setting a standard and making kids make choices. And all life is a series of choices. Is the juice worth the squeeze? If I know I'm going to hit my alarm again, I know if I show up late, I'm going to be kicked out and have to come back at 6 a.m. on Saturday. Constant choices. Kids get to make decisions daily. Our job is to show them what they are. They get to decide what the discipliner is.
You don't have many rules then under that.
Not that many rules, standards. Be a good person. I say it all the time. There is right and there is wrong. There is no gray area. Like, I hate gray area. There's no such thing as gray area. Everybody, when they make a decision, they know what's right. They know what's wrong. They may try to justify if they're doing something wrong and trick themselves into saying, is it really wrong? But you know if you're making a decision that's right or wrong. You know it. There is no gray area in our program. I use an example. Well, first day, when our first meeting, we have a basketball hoop in our meeting room. I said, who wants to challenge me to a shootout? I said, 10 push-ups if I beat you. I had said, okay, you shoot first. He shot from the other end of the meeting room and lost. I said, I bet I make a shot before you. He shot. He lost. I walked up to the hoop and shot a layup. And I said, I never told you that I had to shoot from back here, right? But you guys all know that that's wrong. Yes, that's not how we operate here. Just because I didn't tell you the rule doesn't mean you can find a loophole. That's not how we're going to operate. Everybody knew what I meant. And that's how this program is going to be. So
doing like a master class with you on business, because people that are considering Arizona State football to put their money into, business leaders around the Valley, I think have to know what you're about. Talking about X's and O's, there's a day for that. But this is what I think fans want to hear is a little bit more from you on this front. What do you know now that you didn't know being a head coach on November 27th, 2022?
How much stuff goes into it that has nothing to do with football?
Like this.
But how we travel. Do coaches have travel cards? Like, how do we get something built in the building that we need? How do, like, all the, oh, you have to get 3 bids in order to get electricity somewhere to use our new machine. And you have to get 3 bids from people who used to work at Arizona. It's like all of these political steps in order to essentially buy a water bottle. And it's like, guys, I'm trying to get a water bottle. And it's not really just a water bottle, but you understand there's such simple tasks that have to go through such bureaucracy. That's what I'm learning that I can't get frustrated with, that I just got to embrace that this is a new chapter for me and a new challenge for me. And in college football, there is no real world. You live in a world where it's 4th-and-1 every day and things get done on command. Your boss tells you to do something, you do it instantly. I'm in the real world in this other side of this profession now, where things don't happen like that. And I am learning some patience.
Mm-hmm. You learning, anticipating, probably lean on people. Who's the right side of your brain outside of your wife right now?
Coach Regal is definitely, somebody I lean on. Coach Baldwin, somebody I lean on. Mike Norvell, somebody I lean on. And then I have a few ADs in my past that I've built really good relationships with that I trust, that I lean on just for advice in terms of, big picture, guys that have, been in college for a long time that I've leaned on for a while, not just here, but just in my career as a whole.
Yeah. You feel good about where you are? I mean, and I say this from the standpoint of you're hired November 27th to where you are now, the learning curve for any coach. And you've not been a head coach. Now you are a head coach. You're at a major program across the country. People are looking at, is he going to be able to do it, as you referred to earlier, the doubters, the skeptics. You feel like you're on the right curve, or is it, look, I got to coach my first game in 90 days, and I still need answers here, here, and here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound bad. The thing I'm least concerned about is football. Football is football, guys. Let's not make this billion-dollar industry kid ourselves that this is still – there's still 22 people on the field, right? When you play offense, 6 people are in the same spot almost every snap. The 5 linemen and the quarterback, you get to move 5 people, guys. That's it. The defense has 5 people in the box every snap. They get to move 6. This is really, really not rocket science. You have to understand when to use timeouts and know the rules. That's what I've been doing since I've been on the couch with my dad since I was 3, right? The football is not the part that I'm not worried about game day at all, right? It's the challenging, like everything you've brought up is what wins football games, the culture, what are the challenges are? Do they frustrate you? Can you keep those separate from the main thing, which is your players? And do your players know that you'll go to absolute bat for anything they need? Do they know that if they're in trouble at any point, can they call you and you have their back? Because at some point as a coach, you're going to be out on that field and you're going to say, we're going to run inside zone. It's 4th-and-1. Can we get it? And the defense knows it's going to be inside zone. You're not going to throw play action if the game's on the line, mano a mano. And your players have to look at you and say, coach, go for it. Just like they called you at one time and they said, coach, I need you. I'm in a pinch. Can you help me? And you said, yes. They look at you and you guys have that trust in each other. That's what wins.
Hmm. Anything else you want to add that I haven't asked you about where you are right now?
No, I mean, I feel – I think the city's getting behind us. I think, guys like you asking me to be on the show is awesome. Guys that have a huge voice in this valley and supporting us. I think it's our kids need to know that they're working really hard right now. Like, I'm so proud of the team. Winning in sports is always reflective on wins and losses. But where this team is in terms of the growth they've made, we just need support. Good, bad, and different. This year, we need people to support these players and support the change and support the direction we're going.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and insight as always. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Go Devils.
Kenny Dillingham. And we're back with more after this timeout.